with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. It is Biggs time, and Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire. Check him out, aturo.com. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you were there and you witnessed all that occurred in London, Brad. You were there most of the week. What was your biggest takeaway from the ease in which the Bears got another victory?
Well, I think it's more of what we saw the week before against Carolina, right? Where they play a team that's struggling and it's not too much of a task for them to put them away early and put them away with what appears to be relative ease, right? You play a bad football team or a struggling football team, and you're not going to earn a lot of style points, but when you do it in convincing fashion, that's what good football teams are supposed to do, right?
Exactly right, and the Bears have done that the last couple weeks and look like a good football team throughout this three-game winning streak. Brad, put into context how impressed you are by the offense having scored 30 points in consecutive wins for the first time since 2013 and the fact that it came against two of the worst defenses in the NFL.
Yeah, that's one of the things you kind of have to try to balance and figure out, and you go back to the Rams, you know, and they're struggling and they can't rush the passer. And I think, you know, I kind of have to give you the same answer that, well, you're playing a team that's not good. So you should do that. The challenge will be when the degree of difficulty goes up for the Bears, how do they respond? What do they look like then? But I mean, it was sky is falling for the offensive line, for Shane Waldron, for, you know, why in the world did they keep Chris Morgan? And the line's played better. The offense has been better. And so I think we need to pause at least briefly to acknowledge that those groups have done better because, you know, shoot, it was like piling on a handful of coaches and a bunch of different players for a full week for 2 or 3 weeks there.
Yeah. Listen, I think we've come out of the last couple of games, the three-game winning streak, feeling pretty good about what the Bears have been doing, about what the coaches have been doing. There was obviously a reaction from Shane Waldron. And you like seeing that. And we heard from Matt Eberflus about the first 15. And I know that that's been downplayed. And, you know, all that matters is that you win. And the fact that they put together a three-game winning streak speaks volumes. But, you know, we talked about Eric Washington and what is he doing with the defensive line. We saw a couple of defensive linemen getting sacks that we didn't even – no, we're a part of the rotation not too long ago. And John Hoke, what can you say about that guy? It seems like they've got a lot of members of the secondary that are very good beyond the very good starters that they have. And when you are without players like your starting safety, Jaquan Brisker, like your Tyreek Stevenson unable to start the game with a calf, and you wrote that he was in a walking boot, that's scary. And then we know that Kyler Gordon left that game with a hamstring injury. Do we have any update on any of these members of the secondary? And again, kudos to the coaching for being able to handle that many injuries.
Yeah, I don't have any updates on the injured guys other than that the bye week's probably a little bit earlier than you would want. if you were just picking it in a normal year and you didn't have a trip to London or somewhere else abroad to play a game where you wanted to back up that trip with your week off. And the Bears had a stretch here, guys, where they really late by weeks, like week 13. I think they had a week 14 in there. So eventually it kind of balances out and the league spreads that around. But perhaps the timing is fortunate for them with some of the injuries in the secondary. They've played well. You don't have to rush someone back and risk the opportunity of making things worse, but at the same time, you want to get your frontline guys in action as quickly as possible, right?
No doubt about it. Brad, when you evaluate Caleb Williams after six games, you take the bye week and the Bears are doing their own self-scouting. When you look at the six-game sample size, what was it that he did that you think turned his season around most?
I don't think his season was headed somewhere where, boy, he's got to turn this around. I think the thing that's been impressive is we've been able to see him operate with success at the line of scrimmage, and that's pre-snap and that's post-snap, knowing where to go with the ball. Understanding what the defense is presenting, understanding, you know, if they're shifting into something after the snap. And based on super high completion percentage here of late, he's got a real good handle on what's going on. Are there going to be some instances where he's fooled later on this season? Absolutely. There's going to be multiple instances of it, right? He's going to run into some stuff that's confusing. I'm sure the Minnesota Vikings and Brian Flores will cook up some pretty crazy stuff that he perhaps hasn't encountered. But I just think it's the operation there pre and post snap, which, I mean, that's where so many of these young quarterbacks, almost all of them, really struggle. And it's a process for them to see if they can kind of figure it out and slow it down. And he seems comfortable in that regard. He's talked about just getting used to playing football again because, you know, he stopped playing, what was it, like mid-November last year when he was at USC, late November. So it had been a long time since he'd been out there, and he's starting to get into a groove.
Yeah, that's fairly apparent. He also seems like the faster you want to go, the better he wants to play. It's wild to me that you see him, if he can call a couple plays in the huddle, it just seems like he's got a real feel for the game. And when the rhythm picks up, he picks up.
Yeah, and they've been fortunate because they've been able to move the ball. They've been able to avoid some of those third and really unmanageable situations. They've done a good job protecting the football, right? And the interception, he knows that not only should that not have been an interception,
Yeah. Should
have been a huge play, maybe a touchdown, but you like the way he's wired. That's like the first thing he wants to talk about after the game is, boy, I really screwed that up. So they're making some gains here. They've got some confidence. They're not struggling to put away teams that are going to have really bad records when this year's over. And I know anyone can rise up on any given Sunday in the NFL, but the Bears made sure to this point here of late that hasn't happened against them. These games haven't even been close.
So, Brad, let's look at the offensive line. Tevin Jenkins comes in, starts and finishes, which is significant. You look at the way Matt Pryor has stepped in and been pretty solid at right guard. Nate Davis, healthy scratch. Ryan Bates could come back and be a backup. Those are two pretty expensive reserves. What are the plans for the offensive line, and does either Davis or Bates factor into the equation?
Well, we can't determine the plan until we know who all's healthy. And Larry Borum's making some decent money, too. He hit that escalator for year four. So I think Larry Borum's at like $3 million, I'm pretty sure.
Right.
And he's on injured reserve as well with Bates. It sounds like Larry will probably be a return to practice guy this coming week. He had the high ankle sprain in the preseason game at Kansas City. And I think they start the window for him. You were always kind of looking after the bye week, I believe, with Ryan Bates. If he's there next week, wouldn't surprise me. If he needs a little more time, also wouldn't surprise me. So, you know, how does it shake out with all these bodies? We've got to see where everyone's at when everyone is healthy. You know, if Bates and Borum come back right away, look good in practice, you've got to make some moves. You can't keep 11 offensive linemen on the 53-man roster. They started the season with 10. They went down to 9 when they put Bates on IR, and they're at 9 right now. So if they have a lineman go down moving forward, it's pretty simple, you know, swap them out there as long as Larry or Ryan are ready to go. If everyone's healthy, they're going to have to make some moves, and Nate Davis could be the odd man out. Like, if he's going to be a healthy and active against Jacksonville, and you've got more people healthy, he could go with his guaranteed salary and be paid, handsomely by the organization through the end of the season.
Just tell us the mini fridge is safe, right? Doug Kramer?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. I would think so. You know, I would. That would be my guess.
Brad, help us out with what the week holds. The players, obviously, they're off all week. But I'm sure there are guys that will be going in for treatment. Talking to Patrick Manley, wondering if they have some tryout, if they try to sign a long snapper. We still don't know the extent of the knee injury that Scott Daly suffered, the long snapper. But if they were to sign someone, it's conceivable that some of those guys could try to meet at a local high school or something just to get some of those snaps going and have a little practice time with that. I thought that was an interesting suggestion. I don't know if that's even allowed. When does Eberflus speak again? Is everybody off for the rest of the week? What's your writing schedule become?
What's your plan, Brad?
What the hell are you going to do with your life?
I'll probably find something to do. I would think the coaches are in for another day or two, maybe 3 days, just kind of going through the self-scout, getting prepared for Washington, kind of tidying things up a little bit in what they want to do. And then I would imagine Eberflus gives them probably a 3-day weekend, maybe a 4. I don't know. We'll have to see. But in terms of Daly, NFL media reported that it's not a serious injury for him. So okay. It wouldn't surprise – yeah, which is good, really good news.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me if the Bears take a look at a guy or two just in case, right? How's his knee going to be – next week in practice when they need him, right? What's he going to be like then? You don't want to, practice with Cole Kmet snapping all the time. You guys saw, even on the kicks they made, some of the snaps are a little bit high. Like, you want the kicker and punter to be able to practice with professional-grade snaps in practice. So it's possible that they would look at a long snapper, because I think Patrick Scales coming back from that back surgery, he's another player on IR. I think we're looking at least a couple weeks that he's still out before he could be designated to return to practice. Perhaps a little bit longer than that.
So, Brad, we debated during the pick six what position group was the most surprising or has maybe been more productive than expected. If you were to answer that same question, how would you?
Which position group?
Yes. Yeah.
Boy.
David said the defensive line. I stayed with the secondary because not only is that the best position group, but it was pretty good despite the injury.
Yeah, I think the injuries and the depth was surprising. The defensive line, to me, Brad, guys who you don't typically count on came through like Sunday. Byron Cowart and Chris Williams, you just don't expect to see them register sacks in a game like that. You could go a couple different ways.
Yeah, I mean, if we're just talking out of Sunday's game, I guess I'd go with the secondary, although those guys have played before. I mean, right. You look at Jalen Jones. He had like 460 snaps as an undrafted rookie free agent in 2022. Blackwell played as an undrafted rookie in 2022. He was a waiver claim, but he wasn't drafted by the Eagles. And Elijah Hicks has started, you know, what, 7-8 games?
That was his ninth start. That was his ninth.
Yeah, you're talking about a guy that was within like a couple picks of being Mr. Irrelevant. He was like 253 or 54 overall in the draft. So all those guys had played before. I guess I would go with them. If you were talking about over the course of the season at this point, I would probably switch to the defensive line because of contributions by some people that you maybe weren't just sure what they were going to provide in terms of a newcomer like Darrell Taylor. In terms of, Andrew Billings has been better rushing the quarterback than the biggest Andrew Billings fans probably could have projected. So, and they could get better there. You know, I'll mention this, and I wrote it, I think, last week. A lot of talk about how Jervon Dexter kind of reshaped his body, right? Well, yes. And he did, and it's been paying dividends. Zach Pickens did the same thing from a workout standpoint this offseason as Dexter in terms of getting stronger, getting leaner, getting a little bit quicker. And we haven't seen it because he's been slowed by that groin injury for 2 months now anyway. But I wouldn't be surprised if he's back on the practice field next week. And he's a guy they think they can get some meaningful snaps from as the season continues to unfold.
If he comes back, they have another defensive end that just started practicing. Is Dominique Robinson in trouble? Talking about healthy scratches.
Robinson, yeah.
If they're going to make a move. For God's sake.
Yeah, Bayless, like, here's the thing. Like, you want to get rid of Bayless, okay, what do you need? Who are you going to get?
A fourth-round pick they'll get.
Did he pass through customs?
Yeah, it's the person that's replacing him on your imaginary roster, are they going to get a uniform? Jacob Martin, the defensive end, is practicing. If they like what they see from him, perhaps that's an issue for Robinson. Pickens isn't on IR. He's just been down for a while, so it's not like they got to make a move to activate Zach.
Brad, 30 seconds. The Lions losing Aiden Hutchinson. Do you see that affecting the NFC North race significantly?
It's a factor. It's a factor. Take the best player off each team, and it's impossible to say it's not a factor, right? He's probably the best player for the Detroit Lions, and that's a roster with a lot of really good players. So that's got to be an issue for them. It's tough to see because he's a fun guy to watch play the game. And they've had some other injuries too. So we'll see, how they weather things moving forward here.
So there's no news conferences scheduled for the rest of the week, just making sure of that.
Nothing until, I think, Monday.
Okay.
Nothing this week, nothing the rest of this week.
This segment with Brad Biggs is sponsored by Estwing Professional Tools. They are, of course, made in the USA for 100 years. Estwing.com.
Enjoy the break, Brad. You earned it.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Welcome back.
Jalen Johnson, now the most dominant defensive player that the Bears have. Is he the best defensive player who I believed coming into the season was Montez Sweat? And Sweat, he gets a ton of attention, but he has not yet produced the sort of numbers that will get you a Defensive Player of the Year award or will get you the kind of scrutiny that a guy like that deserves because he's such a good player. Other players are getting the sacks. I think he had half a sack, right?
He had half a sack, and he can make other people around him better.
And he does. He's a multiplier. But Jalen Johnson, shuts down half the field.
It's a more solitary position.
Teams don't go at him.
They don't. They only tested him twice on Sunday, and 38 pass attempts, and that speaks to the respect and also his ability to wipe out whatever receiver he's covering. You make a good point about Sweat. He's a multiplier, but yes. It also takes a village to rush a passer.
No question. But it also, again, if your starting corner is out, and we know that Tyrique Stevenson suffered a calf injury, Bigsy wrote he was in a walking cast in London. Mm-hmm. I mean, just the idea of that bothers you. But he got injured on Thursday in Thursday's practice. And if you're a team going into a game, I don't know if you're going to go twice at Jalen Johnson or if you plan on going five times or seven times. If the other corner is a backup, well, we're going at him. We're going to go. Everything will steer that way, because why get Jalen Johnson involved at all if their other starter is out?
Doug Peterson is a smart offensive coach. I don't know if he's a great head coach any longer because of what his team is enduring, but he is a smart offensive coach. The first snap of the game for the Jaguars, it was a completion to Brian Thomas for 8 yards. He attacked Jalen Jones early because that was the intent. They know who's there. They know who to avoid. They avoided Jalen Johnson most of the game for a reason, that he has become this kind of caliber of a corner. You can operate independently when you are that good of a cornerback. Montez Sweat is part of the conversation because of obviously the kind of season he had last year after he came to the Bears and because of just how good he is. But I think Jalen Johnson's had a better 6-game start to this season.
And I will say to you that I don't believe that Jalen Johnson has a chance of being like a defensive player of the year because of what we're talking about, because he's too good right now given the other corners, and he's too good given the quarterback rating against for them to throw the ball his way, for him to get the picks that he needs, for him to get the bang plays and the wow plays. You know, unfortunately, if all you're doing is shutting down half the field, as wonderful as that may be, you're not going to get credit for that in terms of putting up the wow statistics that would get you the kind of honor we're talking
about. To that point, Xavier McKinney of the Packers, you might say, okay, there's a guy that has had a bigger splash because he's got 5 picks in 6 games.
Yeah.
For the Packers as a free agent signee, he has made an impact. I don't want to diminish that, but I do think that your point's well taken. Xavier McKinney has done a nice job of taking advantage of his opportunities, but I don't know that you go into a game fearing a free safety as much as you do maybe avoiding a lockdown cornerback.
Right.
And it's, I think those guys, the lockdown corners are harder to find. So Jalen Johnson is now, to me, Aiden Hutchinson was in a class, I think, by himself, the kind of year that he was off to. It's terrible what happened to him. The Lions might be good enough offensively to withstand and absorb his absence and loss, but right now, Jalen Johnson is the best defensive player in that division and one of the best in the NFL based on the start that he's had.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with that, David. I just don't know that that's going to get you the kind of glory that he may be seeking. And it's a pity that more people won't celebrate that the way that we are here in Chicago.
It might get him an All-Pro
yes.
Nod. It might make him ascend to that. He's already, was he second-team All-Pro last
yes.
year? He was one of the best 4 cornerbacks in football based on that. Maybe this year he goes up another notch, and which is important to him, and he's one of the top 2. If he was a first-team All-Pro, it tells you exactly what the Bears have and why this defense. We can talk all we want about the history the offense has made, the progress that Caleb Williams has shown. This defense, for the 12th straight game, has held its opponent to 21 points or fewer. That's how you put yourself in playoff contention.
And, you know, another thing that this defense is doing that is very impressive, you heard Tremaine Edmonds speak after the game about the use of the peanut punch, about going after the ball on defense. They apparently looked at their season, and they came to the conclusion that they were doing fine with the number of interceptions they were getting, but they felt like they weren't getting enough fumbles. They weren't forcing enough fumbles or recovering enough fumbles, and as a result, they spent some time working on that, and you see it all the time. And Peanut, God bless him, he did the game on the radio.
Yeah.
He should have somehow taken that Peanut Punch and copywritten it, right? I mean, get a copyright on that thing. Every time that
trademark,
it's you,
cha-ching.
Trademark,
cha-ching.
He'd get paid every time that is
should've
brought up.
Should have thought of that.
We should have done it underneath him. We could have snuck in there.
You mentioned Tremaine Edmonds. That play that he knocked it loose on ETN, that when you look at what happened and they reversed it.
Yes.
Mike Pereira told us on the Big Pro Football Show last night on Chicago Sports Network that was the wrong call. That he would have not, it should have been Bears ball. They should not have retained possession. And that would have been another takeaway for a defense that is now made a habit of, it is a habit. It is it's something that, it's not accidental that the Bears are this good at taking the ball away from their opponent.
The Bears already this season have 6 fumble recoveries. They had 6 fumble recoveries all of 2023. So they have matched last year's total through, 6 games, God's sake. They forced 7 fumbles, and they have recovered 6 of them. That is a very difficult thing to do. Just think about a football, David. It's a funny-shaped ball.
It's oblong, I believe.
The ball, it is oblong.
It's leather.
And it will bounce. And it will turn funny.
You never know. It's funny how it bounces sometimes.
It's pretty extraordinary that they've managed to get their hands on and take away 6 of the 7 forced fumbles.
But you mentioned John Hoke. You mentioned Eric Washington. Matt Eberflus is a big part of that as well.
Yep.
That's coaching.
That is.
Because you emphasize certain things.
Yep.
It becomes a culture. It becomes something that you take pride in as a defense. And it's something that you either emphasize or you don't. We saw it with Lovie Smith, and the Bears kind of spoke it into existence. They've done the similar thing with Matt Eberflus. I'm not going to say this defense is at the 2006 caliber yet because they have not won the NFC Championship.
Yes, yes.
But they are on their way to being that good because of some of the things we're talking about.
And I think that I never believed that it was coaching until I covered Lovie, until he came in. And he talked about it and obsessed with it. And everybody, you had to go get the ball. You had to pick it up and run it back. And I would sit there watching
this. Why are
they
running
practice.
The practice?
It was just
Where
like,
are they going into the end zone?
You know, what is this?
Why are they showing off?
This is not going to work. And sure enough, it started happening in games. And they became so obsessed with the idea of it. And that happens. You can have a self-fulfilling prophecy of sorts when you become obsessed with a particular element of the game.
It changed the league. It changed the way that defenses attack the football and ball carriers. You saw the other day with the T.J. Watt that wound up and just punched the ball free. You see it in every cornerback that tackles a receiver and tries to keep him upright while he punches the football. It is a technique. It is a thing, and it changes the complexion of a defense.
All right, we've got to get to a break. Coach Wonstedt will join us next. We'll have a chance to talk to Dave. It is a glorious celebration Tuesday. Are we still celebrating the
Bears?
Still celebrating. We're still having fun.
Yeah,
anyway.
We can talk to Wani about coaching.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll ask him about that.
Yeah.
About the impact coaches.
And did you see he's wearing a Pitt sweatshirt? He's celebrating the fact that they're one of the undefeated teams in the top 25. They are having quite a start.
Congratulations to Pitt and to Dave who went there. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 The Score.
Dave Wonstedt, Bears head coach for 6 seasons.
The Bears.
The Bears.
Super Bowl champion.
How about them Cowboys? Yeah!
He has the greatest mustache you've ever seen.
Some say it's a symptom of manliness. Others a cause, the mustache.
When he hanging out with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Open up the door, it's Dave.
Who?
Dave, D-A-V-E.
Dustin, we're not going to waste airtime on that, okay?
Thank you.
Next question.
Thank you.
Next question.
Thank
next
you very
question.
Much.
Dave Wonstedt.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always a delight to have Coach Wonstedt visit us here in studio. And Dave, you're looking especially salubrious this morning with that Pitt sweatshirt on, celebrating your colors. Congratulations, sir, on their start.
Yeah, and I had Pitt in 3 points, and they won by two. So, this was probably a bad choice today, you know?
6-0, 20th in the latest AP poll.
Yep.
Where are they headed?
You know,
are they headed to the playoff? Are they?
They don't play Florida State. They don't play Miami. They have Clemson in Pittsburgh.
Oh, wow.
And the rest of their schedule, guys, it's very, I'm looking at 10-2. I mean, I think somehow, I don't know who's going to beat them. Maybe Clemson's probably a better team right now, but they got to come out and play in Pittsburgh. It's going to be in November. You know, the weather's going to be terrible. You know, the interesting thing there, and then we can get on with it. Their quarterback at Pitt.
Yes.
He was Milroe's backup at Alabama.
Yeah.
4- or 5-star kid. And he went in before Saban left Alabama. He went in and sat down with Saban and said, am I going to get a chance to compete next year for the job? He's a redshirt freshman. And Saban said, well, you know, it's going to be tough, Milroe, on and on and on. Well, one of the guys that was recruiting him to go to Alabama is now at Pitt. I don't know if he's a coordinator or what. So he says, hey, you want to come here? You can be the guy. So that was the connection, and that's how it all happened.
Good choice.
And now he'll be there for a little bit, unless someone pays him.
He'll be there for 4 months until Ohio State pays him a million.
Or Notre Dame. They like to do that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Notre Dame likes to poach quarterbacks off other teams.
They just got the Clemson kid. Did you see that?
Yes, they just flipped a recruit.
They flipped a recruit after losing a recruit. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's how it's done, I guess.
But it'll be interesting, yeah. It's going to come down to, you know, can they get one of those? If they don't win the conference, how is Pitt viewed with the teams they play as far as the other one-loss or two-loss teams? That'll be the quick. Because in the Big Ten now, there's going to be a couple two-loss teams. I mean,
yeah. There will be.
You know, 10-2 teams. You know,
how did Ohio State blow that?
Dave, talk to us about the end of that game,
oh,
please.
God.
Yeah, well,
that was really hard to fathom.
Yeah,
how
the biggest.
What are you doing?
Yeah, the biggest thing was that during the course of the game, the big plays. You know, Oregon actually had more big plays than Ohio State did. Oregon did a very good job. I did not think that number one, Oregon's defense was up to that challenge, and number two, Ohio State has three defensive linemen guys that came back this year that would have been supposedly draft picks. And did they have one sack? I don't think they sacked them at all. Maybe once. I mean, to me, that the defense of Ohio State was the biggest disappointment. I mean, I really thought, you know, because the quarterback that Oregon got, Gabriel, that transferred in, you know, we knew he was a good player, but he hasn't been playing outstanding up to this point. And he was a superstar on Saturday, and Ohio State's front seven, they just didn't create him. They didn't create enough
problems. It was an entertaining college football game. It really was.
Great
and then
game.
The end was very unsatisfying because they could have really they deprived themselves of the chance to kick a field goal.
Dave, I threatened David that I would bring up the trip to Ireland that you had with the Bears and the disastrous washroom situation on the flight home. when we were talking about the Bears going to London, because the Bears went to London, everybody got to fly first class, and apparently, and they brought two barbers.
They brought two barbers with them.
Two barbers,
yeah.
Dave.
They're well-groomed, and they were well-prepared.
Well, I'm gonna just say one sentence. I forget the airlines we were on, but I know when we sat down, Tony Wise was sitting behind me, and he buckled his seatbelt, and he turned, and he said, aren't we flying, and I won't say the airlines, and I said, yeah. And he looked at his seatbelt, and his seatbelt said, like, Pan Am, and we were flying another airlines, okay? So the seatbelt was a completely...
Uh-oh.
And we said,
and it turned into JetBlue?
Yeah, we definitely put this thing together on the move. You know?
You couldn't fit some of the equipment on the plane because it was too big for the...
We had to stop. We couldn't get all the way home.
Yeah.
Remember, we stopped in Maine... because they put too much equipment on, and we were running out of gas, and they didn't want to dump it in the ocean. So we said we got to make a stop.
You got up in your socks to go to the bathroom, and they turned blue because the bathroom was leaking.
Oh, it was
JetBlue.
It was a
JetBlue. That wasn't the airline.
Coach, it was a classic.
Yeah.
They've come a long way.
Did
it surprise you how first class last week seemed? Because the Bears fly over, they have two barbers, they stay at an English Countryside Manor, which looked like it was just
practice field built there a whole bit.
Practice pitch. Yeah. Everything was tailor-made for their visit, it seemed, and they did it in a way they were prepared, they stayed in top accommodations, and they played like a team that, you know, was a first-class effort.
Yeah, they did, and I did not realize that, as you say, the accommodations, that it was that they had that type of setup over there. When I was listening to everything, it was like an hour outside the city.
Yeah, hour and a half.
No, the people over in London, I mean, they're making a real effort to do everything they can to make these teams come over there and have a good experience so they want to come back again.
All right, we got to take a quick timeout. We'll be right back with Coach Wannstedt. It is Mully and Haw on the Score. Jalen Johnson, now the most dominant defensive player that the Bears have. Is he the best defensive player? Who I believed coming into the season was Montez Sweat. And Sweat, you know, he gets a ton of attention.
Mm-hmm.
But he has not yet produced the sort of numbers that will get you a Defensive Player of the Year award or will get you the kind of scrutiny that a guy like that deserves because he's such a good player. Other players are getting the sacks. I think he had half a sack, right?
He had half a sack, and he can make other people around him better.
And he does. He's a multiplier. But Jalen Johnson, shuts down half the field.
It's a more solitary position.
Teams don't go at him.
They don't. They only tested him twice on Sunday. And 38 pass attempts, and that speaks to the respect and also his ability to wipe out whatever receiver he's covering. You make a good point about Sweat. He's a multiplier, but it also takes a village to rush a passer.
No question. But it also, again, if your starting corner is out, and we know that Tyreek Stevenson suffered a calf injury, Bigsy wrote he was in a walking cast in London. Mm-hmm. I mean, just the idea of that bothers you. But he got injured on Thursday in Thursday's practice. And if you're a team going into a game, I don't know if you're going to go twice at Jalen Johnson or if you plan on going five times or seven times. If the other corner is a backup, well, we're going at him. We're going to go. Everything will steer that way because why get Jalen Johnson involved at all if their other starter is out?
Doug Peterson is a smart offensive coach. I don't know if he's a great head coach any longer because of what his team is enduring, but he is a smart offensive coach. The first snap of the game for the Jaguars, it was a completion to Brian Thomas for 8 yards. He attacked Jalen Jones early because that was the intent. They know who's there. They know who to avoid. They avoided Jalen Johnson most of the game for a reason. That he has become this kind of caliber of a corner. You can operate independently when you are that good of a cornerback. Montez Sweat is part of the conversation because of obviously the kind of season he had last year after he came to the Bears and because of just how good he is. But I think Jalen Johnson's had a better 6-game start to this season.
And I will say to you that I don't believe that Jalen Johnson has a chance of being like a defensive player of the year because of what we're talking about, because he's too good right now given the other corners, and he's too good given the quarterback rating against for them to throw the ball his way, for him to get the picks that he needs, for him to get the bang plays and the wow plays. You know, unfortunately, if all you're doing is shutting down half the field, as wonderful as that may be, you're not going to get credit for that in terms of putting up the wow statistics that would get you the kind of honor we're talking
about. To that point, Xavier McKinney of the Packers, you might say, okay, there's a guy that has had a bigger splash because he's got 5 picks in 6 games.
Yeah.
For the Packers, as a free agent signee, he has made an impact. I don't want to diminish that, but I do think that your point's well taken. Xavier McKinney has done a nice job of taking advantage of his opportunities, but I don't know that you I don't know that you go into a game fearing a free safety as much as you do maybe avoiding a lockdown cornerback.
That's right.
And it's, I think those guys, the lockdown corners, are harder to find. So Jalen Johnson is now, to me, Aiden Hutchinson was in a class, I think, by himself the kind of year that he was off to. It's terrible what happened to him. The Lions might be good enough offensively to withstand and absorb his absence and loss, but right now, Jalen Johnson is the best defensive player in that division and one of the best in the NFL based on the start that he's had.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with that, David. I just don't know that that's going to get you the kind of glory that he may be seeking. And it's a pity that more people won't celebrate that the way that we are here in Chicago.
It might get him an All-Pro
yes.
nod. It might make him ascend to that he's already, was he second team All-Pro last
yes.
year? He was one of the best four cornerbacks in football based on that. Maybe this year he goes up another notch, and which is important to him, and he's one of the top two. If he was a first-team All-Pro, it tells you exactly what the Bears have and why this defense. We can talk all we want about the history the offense has made, the progress that Caleb Williams has shown. This defense, for the 12th straight game, has held its opponent to 21 points or fewer. That's how you put yourself in playoff contention.
And, you know, another thing that this defense is doing that is very impressive, you heard Tremaine Edmonds speak after the game about the use of the peanut punch, about going after the ball on defense. They apparently looked at their season, and they came to the conclusion that they were doing fine with the number of interceptions they were getting, but they felt like they weren't getting enough fumbles. They weren't forcing enough fumbles or recovering enough fumbles, and as a result, they spent some time working on that. And you see it all the time. And Peanut, God bless him, he did the game on the radio.
Yeah.
He should have somehow taken that peanut punch and copywritten it, right? I mean, get a copyright on that thing. Every time that
trademark,
it's you,
cha-ching.
Trademark,
cha-ching.
He'd get paid every
yeah.
time that is
should've
brought up.
Should have thought of that. We should have thought of that.
We should have done it underneath him. We
you know,
could have snuck in there.
You mentioned Tremaine Edmonds, that play that he knocked it loose
yes.
on ETN, that when you look at what happened and they reversed it.
Yes.
Mike Pereira told us on the Big Pro Football Show last night on Chicago Sports Network that was the wrong call, that he would have not – it should have been Bears ball. They should not have retained possession. And that would have been another takeaway for a defense that has now made a habit of – it is a habit. It is it's something that – it's not accidental that the Bears are this good at taking the ball away from their opponent.
The Bears already – this season have 6 fumble recoveries. They had 6 fumble recoveries all of 2023. So they have matched
wow.
last year's total through, what is it, 6 games,
6
for
games.
God's sake. They've forced 7 fumbles, and they have recovered 6 of them. That is a very difficult thing to do. Just think about a football, David. It's a funny-shaped ball. The
it's
ball,
oblong, I believe.
The ball,
oblong?
It is oblong.
It's leather.
And it will
yeah.
bounce, and it will turn funny.
You never know. It's funny how it bounces sometimes.
It's pretty
yeah,
extraordinary
it
that they've managed to get their hands on and take away 6 of the 7 forced fumbles.
But you mentioned John Hoke. You mentioned Eric Washington. Matt
yep.
Eberflus is
yep.
a big part of that as well.
Yep.
That's coaching.
That is.
Because you emphasize certain things.
Yeah.
It becomes a culture. It becomes something that you take pride in as a defense, and it's something that you either emphasize or you don't. We saw it with Lovie Smith, and the Bears kind of spoke it into existence. They've done the similar thing with Matt Eberflus. I'm not going to say this defense is at the 2006 caliber yet because they have not won the NFC Championship.
Yes, yes.
But they are on their way to being that good because of some of the things we're talking about.
And I think that I never believed that it was coaching until I covered Lovie, until he came in and he talked about it and obsessed with it. And everybody, you had to go get the ball, you had to pick it up and run it back. And I would sit there watching this.
Why are
this
they running
practice.
The practice?
It was just
where
like,
are they going into the end zone?
You know, what is this?
Why
nonsense?
Are they showing off?
This is not going to work. And sure enough, it started happening in games, and they became so obsessed with the idea of it. And that happens. You can have a self-fulfilling prophecy of sorts when you become obsessed with a particular element of the game.
It changed the league. It changed the way that defenses attacked the football and ball carriers. You saw the other day with the T.J. Watt that wound up and just punched the ball free. You see it in every cornerback that tackles a receiver and tries to keep him upright while he punches the football. It is a technique. It is a thing, and it changes the complexion of a defense.
All right, we've got to get to a break. Coach Wonstadt will join us next. We'll have a chance to talk to Dave. It is a glorious celebration Tuesday. We still celebrating the
still
Bears?
Celebrating,
we're still having fun.
Yeah,
anyway.
We can talk to Wani about coaching.
Yeah, yeah, we'll ask him about that.
Yeah.
About the impact.
And did you see he's wearing a Pitt sweatshirt? He's celebrating the fact that they're one of the undefeated teams in the top 25. They are having quite a start.
Congratulations to Pitt and to Dave, who went there. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 The Score.
Dave Wonstead, Bears head coach for 6 seasons.
The Bears.
The Bears.
Super Bowl champion.
How about them Cowboys? Yeah!
He has the greatest mustache you've ever seen.
Some say it's a symptom of manliness. Others a cause, the mustache.
When he hanging out with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Open up the door, it's Dave.
Who?
Dave, D-A-V-E.
Dustin, we're not going to waste airtime on that, okay?
Thank you.
Next question.
Thank you.
Next question.
Thank
next
you very
question.
Much.
Dave Wonstadt.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always a delight to have Coach Wonstadt visit us here in studio. And Dave, you're looking especially salubrious this morning with that Pitt sweatshirt on, celebrating your colors. Congratulations, sir, on their start.
Yeah, and I had Pitt in 3 points, and they won by two. So, this was probably a bad choice today, you know?
I did. 6-0, 20th in the latest AP poll.
Yep.
Where are they headed?
You know,
are they headed to the playoff? Are they?
They don't play Florida State. They don't play Miami. They have Clemson in Pittsburgh.
Oh wow!
And the rest of their schedule, guys, it's very. I'm looking at 10-2. I mean, I think somehow. Although I don't know who's going to beat them. Maybe Clemson's probably a better team right now. But they got to come out and play in Pittsburgh. It's going to be in November. You know, the weather's going to be terrible. You know the interesting thing there, and then we can get on with it. Their quarterback at Pitt.
Yes.
He was Milroe's backup at Alabama.
Yeah.
4- or 5-star kid. And he went in, before Saban left Alabama, he went in and sat down with Saban and said, am I going to get a chance to compete next year for the job? He's a redshirt freshman. And Saban said, well, you know, it's going to be tough, Milroe, on and on and on. Well, one of the guys that was recruiting him to go to Alabama is now at Pitt. I don't know if he's the coordinator or what. So he says, hey, you want to come here? You can be the guy. So that was the connection, and that's how it all happened.
Good choice.
And now he'll be there for a little bit, unless someone pays him.
He'll be there for 4 months until Ohio State pays him a million.
Or Notre Dame. They like to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Notre Dame likes to poach quarterbacks off other teams.
They just got the Clemson kid. Did you see that?
Yes, they just flipped a recruit.
They flipped a recruit after losing a recruit. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's how it's done, I guess.
But it'll be interesting, yeah. It's going to come down to, you know, can they get one of those? If they don't win the conference, how is Pitt viewed with the teams they played as far as the other one-loss or two-loss teams? That'll be the quick. Because in the Big Ten now, there's going to be a couple two-loss teams. I mean,
yeah. There will be.
You know, 10-2 teams. You know,
how did Ohio State blow that?
Dave, talk to us about the end of that game,
oh,
please.
God.
Yeah, well,
that was really hard to fathom.
Yeah,
how
the biggest.
What are you doing?
Yeah, the biggest thing was that during the course of the game, the big plays. You know, Oregon actually had more big plays than Ohio State did. Oregon did a very good job. I did not think that number one, Oregon's defense was up to that challenge, and number two. Ohio State has three defensive linemen guys that came back this year that would have been supposedly draft picks. And did they have one sack? I don't think they sacked them at all. Maybe once. I mean, to me, that the defense of Ohio State was the biggest disappointment. I mean, I really thought, you know, because the quarterback that Oregon got, Gabriel, that transferred in, you know, we knew he was a good player, but he hasn't been playing outstanding up to this point. And he was a superstar on Saturday, and Ohio State's front seven, they just didn't create him. They didn't create enough
problems. It was an entertaining college football game. It really was. And then the end was very unsatisfying because they could have really they deprived themselves of the chance to kick a field goal.
Dave, I threatened David that I would bring up the trip to Ireland that you had with the Bears and the disastrous washroom situation on the flight home. When we were talking about the Bears going to London, because the Bears went to London, everybody got to fly first class, and apparently, and they brought two barbers.
They brought two barbers with them.
Two barbers, yeah. Dave.
They're well-groomed, and they were well-prepared.
Well, I'm gonna just say one sentence. I forget the airlines we were on, but I know when we sat down, Tony Wise was sitting behind me, and he buckled his seatbelt, and he turned, and he said, "Aren't we flying?" And I won't say the airlines. And I said, "Yeah." And he looked at his seatbelt, and his seatbelt said, like, Pan Am, and we were flying another airlines, okay? So the seatbelt was a completely...
Uh-oh.
And we said,
and it turned into JetBlue?
Yeah, we definitely put this thing together on the move.
Well, you could, wasn't there, like, you couldn't fit some of the equipment on the plane because it was too big for the...
We had to stop. We couldn't get all the way home.
Yeah.
Remember, we stopped in Maine... because they put too much equipment on, and we were running out of gas, and they didn't want to dump it in the ocean. So we said we got to make a stop.
And you got up in your socks to go to the bathroom, and they turned blue because the bathroom was leaking.
Oh, it was
JetBlue.
It was a
JetBlue. That wasn't the airline.
Coach, it was a classic.
Yeah,
but they've come a long way.
They've come a long way.
Did it surprise you how first class last week seemed? Because the Bears fly over, they have two barbers, they stay at English Countryside Manor, which looked like it was just
practice field built there a whole bit.
Practice pitch. Yeah. Everything was tailor-made for their visit, it seemed, and they did it in a way they were prepared, they stayed in top accommodations, and they played like a team that, you know, was a first-class effort.
Yeah, they did, and I did not realize that, as you say, the accommodations, that it was that they had that type of setup over there. When I was listening to everything, it was like an hour outside the city.
Yep, hour and a half.
No, the people over in London, I mean, they're making a real effort to do everything they can to make these teams come over there and have a good experience so they want to come back again.
All right, we got to take a quick timeout. We'll be right back with Coach Wonstadt. It is Mully and Haw on the Score.